Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Busy being a movie star. Whatever. It's really hard. So much kale. So I brought in the most elegant, lovely, poised lady in show business to fill in as a guest host, Shishir Zameda. You probably remember her as a guest from our amazing episode with Ann Dowd. I know you don't doubt it. Ow! Or you might know Shishir from the film I Feel Pretty or a little show called Saturday Night Live. Hello. I'll let my sweet, sweet Shishir take it away.
Filling in for Michelle Buteau, the host of Late Night Whenever. Please give it up for Shishir Zameda.
Welcome to Late Night Whenever. Give it up for Rob Lewis.
What up?
I'm Shishir Zameda. I'm filling in for Michelle. She is working. She booked a job, so bitch is working. And I'm not. So they called me, and I was like, yeah, I'm free. I'm standing outside. I'm ready. But I'm very glad to be here. I just got a haircut today. Thank you. But I've been, like, itching to get a haircut for a while. And my hair is usually a full afro, but I got the sides and the back shaved, and it feels really good. And I first went natural, like, God, maybe 13 years ago or something like that, like when I was in college, I told my mom, I was like, I want to shave my head. And she goes, no. She's like, I worked so hard on this hair. And she did. She, like, lots of box perms and me leaning over the sink for years and her, like, you know, putting lye in her hands. But my hair was getting longer and shiny, but not, it was getting thinner. So I was like, there's nothing to hold on to. It's dead. So let's cut it. And my mom cut it for me. She grabbed a huge lock of it and just cut it, like, immediately and plopped it in my lap. And I was laughing. I was, like, laugh crying the whole time she was cutting my hair. I felt like I was, like, becoming the Joker, just like. Because it was such a huge change. I'd never done that before. But after I did it, I felt so good and I loved it. But then afterwards, I was worried, well, with reason, that people were going to think I was a boy. Because at the time, my brother's 7 years younger than me, and he was in fifth grade at this time, and he has always been tall for his age. He's 6'6 now, and at the time, we were the exact same height and had the exact same haircut. And he was graduating from fifth grade, and I was there with him, and we were standing next to each other, and his teacher came over, and she was like, I didn't know you had a twin. And I was like, I'm a woman. I am a full adult woman. Also, at the time, I used to wear just, like, baggy T-shirts and basketball shorts, just, like, whatever free shit I got doing some camp. And so then after that, I, like, wore earrings and makeup and skirts to try to, like, counterbalance that. But now I wear that stuff because I like it. But also now I also don't give a shit what people think about how I look. I had a friend who was like, I feel like your look's going more into, like, lesbian Jedi. And I was like, yeah. I don't really know what that is, but yeah. And I think that's what we should all aspire to do. Have you ever changed your look, Rob? Like, drastically?
Nah, you know, in the 90s, though, the S-curl was real.
Yeah. Cool. You had that?
Yeah, I used to rock that shit all the time. Yeah. So when you're talking about that lie and all that stuff, yeah, mm-hmm. That's real. Like, you know, and it's burning, and you got to take it out.
Yeah.
And it costs you your hairline at some points or whatever. But, you know, barbershop is always important to men, mm-hmm. Black men especially.
Yeah. It's a whole community.
Yeah. And I remember one time specifically, my mom would take me to the barbershop, and she actually didn't want to make the trip too many times. So what she did this time is she told him to cut it low. He cut it low. She was like, it's not low enough. Cut it lower. He cut it lower. She said, it's not low enough. He cut me bald. And I was about like, you know, I was 11, 12 years old at that time. So enough to care.
Yeah.
And yo, that was the most embarrassing. I had to go to church. And then she was like, and you got some grease to put on it? And so now I have this shiny bald head. And I used to play at church where the organ was in the front. So it's like everybody had to look. And it's just the most embarrassing haircut
oh,
I ever
no.
had. So yeah, terrible.
Yeah, why did she think you needed to grease it? There's no hair there.
You know, that's mama's though. Mama's yeah. are like, you know, make it shine. I don't know.
Also, one thing that happened when I cut my hair is that I lost a ton of friends. Not because they didn't like the way I look, it's because they didn't recognize me. Like, I like to think that I'm unique and I look a certain way and people can be able to tell what my face is all the time. But no, if I change my hair even a little bit, people are like, that's not my black girl. No, shit, this is different. I do want people to, if they're my friend, to recognize me. Other people, no. One time I went to a diner and I ordered some sort of shrimp pasta. Why did she do that? I don't know. I wanted to die. But I didn't realize I'm developing a shellfish allergy. I know. It is sad. It sucks. Because I've lived a whole life loving shellfish. Just like happy as a clam. And so I had this shrimp at this diner and my face just like swole up, like my eye was swollen. Damn. I had these welts all over my face. And I was like, oh, maybe I shouldn't do this anymore. And I was walking down the street trying to find Benadryl. And this girl was like, Sashir, can I get a picture? And I was like, I'm a monster. Don't look at me. You guys ready for a good show? Let's do it. All right, our first guest coming to the stage is a comedian and an actress. You've seen her in the film Sisters and on the web series, a.k.a. Wyatt Cenac, and Orange is the New Black. Please welcome Emily Tarver. Your birthday's coming up.
It is. Did you know?
Yeah, someone told me.
Okay, cool.
What are you going to do?
I'm going to Las Vegas.
Ooh.
Which is in
Nevada.
I was going to say California, but that's not right. Yeah.
Las Vegas, Nevada. Have you been before?
I have. Last time I went was to celebrate another friend's birthday, and we saw the Paula Abdul.
Oh, yeah.
And
nice.
The Boys to Men.
Ooh.
And New Kids on the Block.
That's a great trip.
Oh, shit. I was
it
there.
Was
for
great.
That.
You were?
Yeah.
Really?
I had to
you
be there.
You were just like
yeah.
in town or were you performing?
No, I put together the Boys to Men show and New Kids on the Block show.
Whoa.
Stop it.
That's awesome.
Can I get like a voucher for the money that I spent on it? Not that it wasn't
I'll
good.
You what,
I
would next just... time you come, it'll be free. How about
okay.
that?
Okay.
Wow.
Okay.
I want that.
I want that.
Did you like the show?
I loved it.
Yeah.
We had a fantastic
yeah,
time.
Cool.
It was great.
Great.
Were there pyrotechnics?
But you know what?
Yeah, pyro, yeah.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Paula Abdul, like, did some crazy shit.
Oh, good.
She, like, looks she better did. Than I've ever looked in my whole life.
She looks really
she's
good.
She's 600 years old.
I feel like that's a little bit of exaggeration.
Like, okay, 420. She's 420. She was, like, an acrobat.
You should also see Magic Mike while you're there. That's what I would recommend.
Is that separate from the films?
It is based on the film.
I'm not aware of it, so...
It's the okay. live review, male review.
That's a classy way of saying strippies.
I guess it's like... I mean, yeah, there's people stripping, but there's a story, too.
Wow! Do you hear yourself? This is great!
There's also a story... Ladies. And yeah, they like bring women on and they'll like dance on you and stuff. I got pulled up. That was very exciting.
What
I went with
happened?
Nicole Byer and Mateo Lane. And Nicole was the one who wanted to go in the first place. She was like, I want to get railed. And
that sounds like her.
And I was like, I'll come and watch. And then they...
You got railed.
And then I got railed. Someone whispered in my ear and they're like, do you want to be the piano girl? And I was like, yeah. I don't know what that is, but I'll do it.
Yeah.
Also, in addition to stripping, they can all play instruments. So there was a guy playing the piano. I sat on top, and he was, like, playing in between my legs.
It's next level.
It was great.
How'd the tests come back? Did you catch anything? You good?
I was a good girl.
All right.
But man, oh, man, was it hot and heavy.
Mm.
So, yeah, take your friend to see that.
Okay.
And you grew up in Texas.
I did. I was born in Tennessee, mm-hmm. and then we moved to Texas when I was like 7 or 8. And so I identify as a Texan.
And then when did you move to New York?
2004.
Mm-hmm.
2004, right after I graduated from college. And I have a degree in psychology and a degree in Spanish. And then I took an improv class my senior year. And I was like, thanks, Mom and Dad. I'm going to go be a weird improviser in a basement. Under a grocery store,
yeah.
The Upright Citizens Brigade. And I was like, thanks for college.
Yeah, I'm going to waste it now.
I'm going to waste it.
And now, you're on Orange is the New Black.
I am. On the Netflix channel. And I just finished in February filming my third season on the show. I play a guard.
Artesian?
Artesian
McCullough.
McCullough.
And then you were in your underwear for a lot of... Your first
season,
right?
Yeah, I hated that a bunch. I really hated it.
What was the context of that? They're just like...
So the prison gets taken over by the inmates, and it's a riot, and they put all the guards together in what's called the bubble.
What's the bubble?
It's like where, if you watch the show, it's like the room with the windows where we watch the prisoners.
Okay.
So we got put together in the bubble, and they took my clothes, and they didn't tell me that was going to happen until like 2 weeks before filming. And I was like, I could have been fucking starving myself for 6 years for this moment. I was on the phone with the producer and eating like a giant hoagie and threw it across the room. I was like, never again, hoagie. Get over here. And I just kept eating. I didn't, it is what it is.
Yeah.
This is what, like, and I thought, I had the thought of, I can either hate this and want to die, or I can flip it and say, like, I'm going to show my body just the way that it is, and maybe that will make other people feel okay about their normal body. This is my body. Like, I'm so lucky to have a body.
Yeah.
You know?
That's great.
Everybody's body is perfect.
Yeah, that's a great way to think of it. Do you want to, like, create your own show?
God. Yeah, I do. I would really like to write... horror films, because that's
cool.
Like my blood is horror.
Yeah.
They're remaking. I'm not like a huge reboot remake fan, but I am when it comes to like Stephen King stuff.
Yeah.
Especially It. Loved It. They're remaking Pet Sematary, which is my number one top favorite.
Ooh.
That my mom showed me when I was like 3. She was like, Dad's gone. Let's get scared. I was like, great. Sounds good, Patty Tarver. She introduced it to me at a very extremely inappropriate, devastating, detrimental age. And so John Lithgow is going to play Judd, the neighbor, Herman Munster.
Whoa.
Yeah. I've always said I want a John Lithgow career. He just works forever.
Mm-hmm.
I imagine people don't bother him.
Yeah.
And he's just like, I'm John Lithgow.
I always thought I wanted a Bill Murray career where, like, you can't find me. Like,
yeah.
Because he has like I guess there's a rumor he's a hotline where people are supposed to call if they want to book him on anything as opposed to like going through his agent.
He just has like a voicemail that you can call.
Yeah.
It's like, hey, it's Bill Murray. Yeah, it's me. Leave a message.
Yeah. And there was a rumor that the reason he said yes to the Garfield movie was because it was written by the Coen brothers, but not that Coen brothers. And he's like, yeah, I'll do it, whatever. And then it was like, gotcha.
Been there. I thought I was drinking a Coke once. It was a Pepsi. So I get it.
It's easy to get tricked. Give it for Emily Tarver.
Thank you.
Thank you. Stick around. We got more after the break.
Carnegie Hall has welcomed a dizzying array of performers.
To have Andy Kaufman, Frank Zappa, and Birgit Nielsen and Horowitz on the same stage, it becomes this kaleidoscope of our history.
I'm Jessica Vosk. Join me for the new podcast, If This Hall Could Talk. It's all about our unique cultural history, as witnessed by one of New York's most beloved institutions, Carnegie Hall. Listen now, wherever you get podcasts.
Our next guest is a writer, comedian, actor. You've seen him on The Daily Show, People of Earth, and now he has his own show on HBO called Problem Areas. Please give it up for Wyatt Cenac. Welcome, Wyatt.
Thank you for having me.
One time I was on he used to host a live show in Brooklyn called Night Train for a very long time. It was wonderful. And now
it's like 5 years. That's not a very long time.
It's years.
If you meet a 5 year old, though, you don't go to a 5 year old and like, ooh, look at you, Methuselah. What have you done with your life? Oh, you're wasting it. Oh, all wrinkly. You're wrinkly 5-year-old.
No, I mean, as far as the lifespan of a live comedy show in New York, that's a long time.
Sure. All right.
And one time I was getting on stage, and I don't know if the lights were already off or you just told them to turn the lights off and you're like, deal with it. And then I did a whole set in the light in the dark. But it was very fun.
Yeah. And hold on. To be fair to me, you came out on stage with the lights off. And then I made everyone pull out their cell phones and use their cell phones to create light for the stage. And so then it became this beautiful moment of everyone coming together and getting hand radiation, all for comedy.
That was a really nice moment.
It was, yeah.
So since I know you as a person who doesn't usually stick to format.
Sure.
With your TV show Problem Areas, is there a plan for every episode? Or are you like...
We're just going to wing it?
Yeah, do you wing it?
No, because that I get paid for. If there's no money on the table, then...
Who cares?
All bets are off.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. No, there's a plan for the show. And we had planned out one thing we chose to look at over the entirety of the season is policing in America and going from city to city and kind of looking at it from different perspectives and different angles and different things that communities and law enforcement agencies are doing to try and like bridge that divide that exists between law enforcement and community. So we knew we couldn't wing that.
For sure.
Yeah. You can't just show up to a town. You can't show up to Tucson and like, hey, we got a bunch of cameras and we want to dig into all this pain here. You cool with that? We're going to crack some jokes.
It's like a social justice prank show. Surprise.
I feel like that already exists every time that somebody does something awful that gets caught on camera.
Wow.
Like,
yeah.
Yeah. Like anytime that, like that lady who called the cops on a cookout or that weird lawyer guy who likes to yell at
people speaking Spanish.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
Like there is at some point, you know, look, I'm just going to throw this out there. Roseanne, that's an open time slot now. ABC. Don't clap for me. I didn't do it.
I think they're clapping for the change that's happening.
Okay. All right. I thought they were giving me credit, which... no, but what I was going to say was that ABC also, they're the ones who created America's Funniest Home Videos, so they already have a format there. Why not?
Tom Bergeron.
Yeah, why not make a show where Tom Bergeron just looks at awful, horrible things that people do that get, like, that they could send in, where it's like, oh, here's an awful human who, like, called the cops on two black guys in a Starbucks, and just, like, and they put, like, stupid sound effects to it.
Wah, wah.
Yeah. These two men are just minding their own business. Here are the cops. And that's what they could just call it. Here are the cops.
How much pushback did you get from police departments?
Some were really cool. Some were like open to it and really cool. But then there were some, like, there was one city we went to where they, like, beforehand wanted to get on the phone with me, and I had to talk to some, like, a bunch of cops on a phone who I think were also recording the phone conversation.
Oh, boy.
They had clearly gone through, like, my Twitter account and listened to some of my stand-up, and so they were sort of asking questions as though they were interrogating me, where it was like, so, you know, your comedy, what would you describe your audience as? And I was like, people? I was like, right, but what, like, how would you describe them? Like, in a lineup? Like, what do you mean? Like, and it was just like, that's really specific. Like, they're people who want to come to a comedy show. What are you getting at? And they never wanted to say it, but I think they wanted me to say, like, angry black people. My audience is filled with angry black people.
Which is true.
Yes.
They're armed, angry black people. Yeah. And we're going to flash your address up on the screen.
It's less comedy show, more revolution. But yeah, so then they were, like, on the fence, and then when we got to town, they pulled out of the whole thing entirely.
Whoa.
Yeah, so...
And is that the only reason you were in town? Was that a waste of a trip?
Kind of, but then we knew where they were going to be, and so we showed up anyway.
What kind of intel? Who do you find out from
where the
police
cops are
going to
be? No, you just
They're
call 911. You just call 911.
Oh, got it.
And then, no, we didn't do that.
Okay.
That would have been so fucked up if we were like, oh, they won't talk to us, and then just call 911. Like, police, come here. And then, like, welcome.
Wah, wah.
And the cops came. Yeah. After a new, fresh off the boat.
You don't have a studio audience in your show.
I don't, so this is weird. I'm not used to being in front of people. It's awkward.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I have to learn everyone's names. The main thing for me was that it felt like, having worked on a show where we had a studio audience, I kind of liked the idea of just making the show for the person who's watching it on their television. Like, sometimes having a studio audience, that's giving that person who's watching cues of, okay, here's where they all laughed, so you should laugh, and here's where they all clapped, and you should feel something. And I kind of wanted to just take that away and just say, oh, okay, I'll just let people sort of experience it how they want to experience it. And so it just felt like I wanted to let people, like, live in that themselves without anyone else directing them how to feel.
Yeah. Clap.
No, 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 no. Make your own decisions.
Laugh,
you're your
laugh,
own,
laugh.
No.
It's funny.
You're your
it's
own
funny.
People. Do what you want to do.
Laugh more. This is very
don't
funny.
Don't listen to her. But also don't listen to me. Make your own choice. Oh, fuck. It's a Schrodinger's cat situation.
Well, cool.
Yeah.
You were actually stuck in an elevator recently.
I was, yeah. I was at work, and I was at work. It was snowing. Power went out in the building. I got trapped in the elevator, and I'd gone to get lunch. And I don't like to walk around with my cell phone if I don't have to. So I didn't have my phone, and the power went out in the building. And they were evacuating the building anyway because they were saying, like, oh, a blizzard's coming. Like, if you don't have to be at work, leave. And because I'm a terrible boss, I was like, fuck it. You all work. But the power went out in the building, and almost as though a comeuppance, I got trapped in the elevator, but it was the happiest I'd been in days because I had quiet. I was trapped by myself. I had a burrito. It was dark.
How long were you in there?
Like about 30, 40 minutes. No, it was totally peaceful. It was great because eventually people realized I was missing. No, it was...
Aww.
Stop it. I told you how happy I was. I was happy. I was at peace in my dark box with my burrito. But people started to... They were like, oh, where is he? And somebody thought, oh, he could be in the elevator. He might be one of the elevator people now. And so eventually somebody from the building had to come to the elevator to see if I was one of the elevator people. And they were like, Wyatt, is that you? And I was like, yeah. And they were like, we're going to get you out. Don't panic. It's okay. Don't panic. You're fine. You're totally fine. Do not be afraid. And I was like, I'm good, but you seem freaked out. You shouldn't panic. And I felt like I was talking him down. Like he'd never been in this situation before. And was like, ah, a person's trapped in the elevator. And I was like, no, this is fine. And then at some point they were like, we're going to get you out. You're trapped between floors. And I've watched enough movies to know that there's a panel that you can push and climb out. And I was like, do you want me to push the panel and climb out? Like, it's fine. They were like, no! I was like, no, it's totally cool. I could totally push the panel. And they were like, no, don't do it. Don't get scared. And I was like, no, I'm just trying to help you. Because it seems like the faster I'm out of here, the faster you'll calm down.
Maybe he knew if you exited by yourself that you would have, entered John Malkovich's brain.
Ooh.
Or get your head chopped off. I've seen that happen.
You've seen that happen?
Not live.
Then the cops came.
Then the cops came.
After an all-new Black-ish. Only on ABC. Bum, bum, bum.
You two have worked together before.
We have.
We have.
Yes. AKA Wyatt Cenac.
Yes, we worked on a web series that I wrote that we shot over the summer, and it was super fun.
It was really fun.
Yeah.
Were there any fun behind the scenes stories?
Well, Wyatt is very low energy, so there wasn't a lot of fun. No.
I don't understand what you mean. I feel like there was a fun day where it was a rainy day where we got stuck in a restaurant shooting a scene with... So Emily was in it. Also a comedian named Thomas Fowler, who was my old comedy partner in L.A. And then an actress, a very funny actress named Jeannie Yee. The four of us played friends, and we were in a restaurant having brunch, and it required Gina. Gina's character... had noticed that the restaurant had sat three couples that were identical couples of white guys and Asian girlfriends side by side at tables. And so she saw this and wondered if each of those white guys were actually into their girlfriends or if they had yellow fever. And so when one went to the bathroom, Gina snuck over and then tried to see if the boyfriend would notice and then started playing a game of roulette between the various boyfriends as a social experiment to see just how attentive they were to notice that these were not their girlfriends. So it was this very weird, like, choreographed dance that we had to do all day. And every time we would kind of like reset everything, it was the one day where I think all four of us got to sit at a table and kind of goof
yeah,
off and
like
joke
we were
around.
Hanging out for the first time.
Yeah, but I found myself, there were moments like that where I feel like, especially when like you and Thomas and Gina were hanging out, because I had to work because I was directing.
He was wearing three hats. But
I would watch the two of you, or the three of you, joking around and goofing off, and I found myself feeling like, oh, wow, you all really seem like you could be long-time friends, and I could have very easily forgotten script pages and just shot you all goofing off and having fun, and I think it would have translated just the same.
That's very nice. Thank you for bringing it back to me.
Yeah. Don't fall for that. No!
I think it's game time. This game is asking for a friend, where people from the audience ask a question for a friend, but we really know it's not for a friend. It's probably for them.
And that's it.
And that's it.
Can you also make a theme song for the show I'll be pitching to ABC?
Yeah. Womp, womp.
Then the cops came.
Then the cops came.
I think that's...
Honestly, that, wonderful.
Yeah, that bumps out into commercial really well. All right. Someone's racism will bring their life crashing down on them in an embarrassing way. Coming up right after this commercial about Downey.
When the cops came.
And you know how they have the little people in the corner for the next show where it's like people like posing like... And next is How I Met Your Mother. It'll just be like someone trying to hit a phone camera. And screaming like really hard. Next on Then the Cop Came. I love it. Where's Rob? What's your question that you're asking for a friend?
This is for a friend.
Yeah.
What do you do when you own a restaurant and you look in your cameras and you see your bartender fucking the waitress?
You call John Taffer.
It feels like it should be multiple choice. However, okay, what do you do?
Is it during business hours?
It's important.
After it was after.
Okay. Hours. After okay. business hours.
Life is hard as a waitress.
That's what she said.
And if you... All right.
I can see why people are getting freaky in this restaurant if this is how it's being
run.
It's
very common in the restaurant industry.
How long have the employees worked there?
This is a friend, remember.
Right,
I don't know.
Oh, I'm not asking you.
Okay, just clarifying.
But you know all the details, I'm sure. Your friend told you.
They were, you know, 6-8 months. I guess maybe that's... Best
oh, so they're new? Be. Get rid of them. Who cares?
Okay.
What do you think? Rob, give Rob
Unless
some advice.
They make a... killer espresso martini, get rid of the ass, I guess.
I agree.
I love an upper and a downer.
That's short time.
Yeah, I mean, that's nothing.
That's short time.
Well, thank you, Rob. Yeah. I hope that answers your friend's question. Yeah.
Why'd you leave your last job? I was fucking.
Where's Clarence? Hi, Clarence.
Yeah, how you doing?
Good. What is a question you need to ask for a friend?
How do you tell your friend that people think he's a dick?
Ooh. Is it Wyatt?
No, I'm down with Wyatt.
Is it the guy sitting next to you?
Is it him?
No, it's not him.
I like that he shrugged like, eh.
Could be.
Maybe so. I don't care. How do you tell your friend he's a dick? Oh, damn.
Maybe you could... behave the way that person behaves to them. And when they're like, hey man, you're being a dick, you're like, I know, I was acting like you. I learned it from you.
Yeah.
That's a good one. I like that. That one, yeah.
Or also just like one last thing. You could just be totally like honest. And say like, a lot of people don't like you and I feel like it's hurting your life and I care about you and you're not very nice and it ruins everyone's life around you. And you're never going to have happiness until you change.
Or just play that clip of Emily saying that.
Yeah, I'll do it. Give me the number.
Call your friend up and just take that section of audio and play it on their voicemail. And just when you do it, just hide your number so they're just kind of like, oh, wow, this is just like the voice of God just told me I am a terrible person. I need to get my shit together. Okay.
Because it would piss him off at first, but he would think about it. You know, it would burrow.
That's true. Anytime I get negative criticism, I'm like, is it true? But then I'm like, fuck it, nah.
Fuck it, nah.
I'm good.
I'm good.
That's the show, everyone.
Yay!
Thank you to Wyatt Cenac, Emily Tarver.
Thank you, guys.
Such
a pleasure.
Oh, and me. This was very fun. And thank you to Rob. Great job on the keys. Wow, what have we learned today? I learned that we need a new show about people being pranked, but not in a social justice kind of way. And that ABC definitely needs that hole filled, so that's the easy way to do it. I also learned that if you want the cops to come and they won't answer your questions, it's call 911. I also learned that it's okay if you're scared to be in your underwear at first, because then people keep paying you to be in your underwear more and more times. And I learned that I really like this show. I already knew that, though. Thanks for coming, guys. Thank you for listening. I'm Sister Zaneda. Michelle will be here whenever. And that's Late Night Whenever.
Late Night Whenever is brought to you by WNYC Studios. This podcast is produced by Joanna Solotaroff, Paula Schumann, Jennifer Sendro, Daniel Guimet, Adam Teicholz, Jamie York, and Marianne Schauberg, with Isaac Jones, Chase Colpin, Sarah Sambach, Caroline English, and Melissa Chusid. Music by Rob Lewis. Ad music by Isaac Jones. Like us on Facebook for ticketing updates and so much more, so you can stay in the know of all things Buteau.
Ow!
And don't forget to subscribe to Late Night Whenever, wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, that was real smooth. Like a baby's bottom. Also, that's so gross, smooth like a baby's bottom. Why do you keep touching baby's bottoms, you fucking freak? Ugh, I can't. Men. Get over it, Don Draper. I'm done.